This is Fresh Air. Jazz critic Kevin Whitehead believes that most Hollywood movies about jazz and jazz musicians are so full of nonsense and misinformation that you can only enjoy them with low expectations about their accuracy. Kevin recently saw Clint Eastwood's film Bird about alto saxophonist and jazz visionary Charlie Parker. He says that while the film does a good job with the historical details, it misses an important part of the big picture.
Watching director Clint Eastwood's film Bird, I was constantly amazed by how much it gets right. Just about every major event in the film is based on an actual incident from the life of Charlie Parker. Obviously, a lot of people did a lot of homework. Of course, Charlie Parker made the filmmaker's job easy. Bird's career was so full of larger-than-life stories and outrageous exploits, all Eastwood and writer Joel Oleansky had to do was decide which stories to include. The complexity of Parker the man comes across whole. The boyish and overweight Forrest Whitaker isn't just physically perfect for the part of Bird. He's got down the nuances of his character as they survive in the historical record. The instant mood swings, the mock British accent he'd affect to put people on, his charm and wit and self-destructiveness. Parker's excesses are the stuff of legend, and the movie Bird is about the places where fact and legend intersect. Images in the film echo famous jazz photographs and film clips. Some published interviews with trumpeter Red Rodney have been transformed into screen dialogue. Never mind that the real Red Rodney seems quite unlike actor Michael Zellniker's portrayal. Even the movie's loopy, non-chronological structure seems patterned after Bob Reisner's oral history book, Bird, The Legend of Charlie Parker. The film touches on and keeps returning to most of the aspects of the Parker legend. His ambivalence toward the heroin to which he was addicted, his complicated relationship with that smart survivor, Dizzy Gillespie, and the irresistible pull between the struggling Parker and socialite Chan Richardson, who later became his wife. Oddly enough, there's only one aspect of Bird lore the film doesn't make much of: his music. Bird tells an audience everything about Charlie Parker except why he's worth celebrating in the first place. In Bird, discussion of Parker's music always seems just around the corner and just out of reach. Like in this scene where Chan Parker, played by Diane Venora, tries to explain to an unsympathetic psychiatrist why her husband shouldn't undergo electroshock treatment.
We're talking about a very special, creative man. His livelihood depends on his ability to improvise and compose music. See, that's not just dexterity. That's from being a...
Mrs. Parker, do you want a musician or a husband?
Look, they do not separate.
But in Bird, the two do separate. We see more of Charlie Parker, the loving but exasperating husband, than of Parker, the bebop revolutionary. As presented in the film, Parker's music seems alternately hyperactive and achingly sensitive. Those are facets of his style, but they don't get at the paradox that makes him so fascinating. Charlie Parker's life was a mess, but his art was as close to perfect as art gets. His improvised solos have the high order and clarity of a Bach fugue. Their formal elegance and harmonic sophistication set a new standard for soloists. But the movie Bird doesn't connect his alto style with the larger musical revolution waged by him and Dizzy Gillespie and other important musicians like Max Roach who aren't portrayed in the film. Miloš Forman's movie Amadeus may have trashed the life of Mozart, but at least it connected that life with his art, admittedly in a superficial way. Wolfie Mozart wrote happy music when he was happy and sad music when he was sad. Charlie Parker wasn't that simple. He'd be nodding off from a heroin fix one minute and improvising an inspired solo the next. One of Hollywood's best jazz films is Martin Scorsese's underrated New York, New York, because it dealt explicitly with those contradictions between one's art and personality and showed how those contradictory sides fit together. The singer played by Liza Minnelli was sweet and sympathetic, but the musicals that she starred in were awful. She was too eager to please. Robert De Niro's saxophone player was a jerk, but he was stubborn enough to keep playing good music. Scorsese used the couple to define the conflict between entertainment and art. Clint Eastwood's Bird never gets that far into its subject. It's curious that Eastwood should let us down, given how skillfully he pulls off the rest of the project, and considering how much trouble he went through to incorporate actual Charlie Parker solos into the soundtrack. By the way, Forrest Whitaker doesn't do as good a job of fingering the sax as some critics think, but that's a quibble. You might have heard about how the movie's music was put together. Parker's solos were electronically stripped from their backing tracks, and then a newly recorded rhythm section was added. As Eastwood and music director Lenny Niehaus have explained, they needed to enhance Parker's original music and bring it up to contemporary standards, lest the archaic means of reproduction prove too distracting for today's audiences. Of course, in Hollywood, they have a name for that sort of thing. It's called colorization. By spiffing up the rhythm section and leaving Bird's sound untouched, everybody else sounds bright and clean, but Parker's alto sounds like it's stuffed with cotton. His searing tone loses most of its presence. It's as if the Philistines who colorized the Maltese Falcon had left Bogart in black and white as a tribute to his greatness. Divorced from the movie's images, this colorized bebop sounds pretty atrocious. The sound of Charlie Parker's saxophone, swamped under reverb-heavy drums and an obviously amplified bass, is sort of a metaphor for the movie Bird itself. Despite the best of intentions, Parker's music gets buried under all the fancy effects.
Kevin Whitehead is a regular contributor to Downbeat and Cadence magazines. This is Fresh Air.